fighting for America.
They should know we will follow them to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice. Because hell is where they will reside.
Fighting for Idaho.
Idaho is probably four, five, six, seven times the size of pick a state in the east, New Hampshire, Connecticut. And yet your power in the electoral vote is a fraction of theirs.
Fighting for you.
This is the first time in American history when we're going to really leave our legacy and children with less opportunity than we had when we grew up. It's frightening and it requires immediate action.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
It's scary.
On 580 KID. Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's let you know what we're covering today. Big story coming out of the Ninth Circuit.
Idaho, Nevada, and Hawaii. Those are the states that will present their cases to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. It's the first time those judges will hear arguments on gay marriage since overturning Proposition 8 in 2012. There's been a flurry of gay marriage rulings in recent months, including one by the Federal Appeals Court in Chicago, rejecting bans in Wisconsin and Indiana, and another one upholding Louisiana's law. Last week, 15 states that allow gay marriage and 17 that don't ask the Supreme Court to decide the issue. Gay marriage is now allowed in 19 states and Washington, D.C. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio.
There we have it. Joining us now, our legal analyst, just off his appearance at Court TV, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. He's been with us all morning just monitoring this situation. Going to be big news today. What's going to happen here at the Ninth Circuit?
Well, the Ninth Circuit is hearing oral argument today based upon the gay marriage ban. Judges Marsha Berzon, Ronald Gould, and Stephen Reinhardt are going to be sitting as jurists on this particular case for and on behalf of the Ninth Circuit. What's interesting in this particular case is that Judges Berzon and Gould were both appointed by President Bill Clinton, and Judge Reinhardt was appointed by President Jimmy Carter. Reinhardt, as you remember, Kevin, wrote the 2012 opinion striking down California's gay marriage ban. He also wrote an opinion in January that declared gays and lesbians a protected class and extended to them the same civil right protections against discrimination that the U.S. Supreme Court had previously promised only to women and racial minorities. Reinhardt, writing for the unanimous three-judge panel that also included Berzon, held that striking someone from a jury pool because he or she is gay constitutes unlawful discrimination. So they're going to have oral argument today. A decision will be published in the days, weeks, or months ahead.
Well, here's the issue, and you say, bar none, this is the most liberal court in the country.
Well, it is, but this particular panel,
the
by
libs.
Far, is as well, it's... Judge Reinhardt has been considered to be one of the most politically liberal jurists on the 29-member court of the Ninth Circuit.
One thing that that troubles me is going back to the Windsor case about Prop 8, and DOMA for that matter, is the comments, and I think it was Kennedy or one of the justices on the Supreme Court that said that if you oppose gay marriage, that paraphrasing here, you're something like a bigot or something like that. So never mind your religion, you had justices actually vilifying people that legally disagreed with a case, which is part of our legal system.
Well, there's two different sets of values that are involved in this case. One deals with the state's rights and the role of government. The other deals with individual rights as guaranteed by the Due Process Clause of the Constitution.
I'm with you, but how appropriate is it for Anthony Kennedy to call me names because I don't agree with same-sex marriage?
Well, the court addresses the arguments that are provided. It's not talking about you or me personally, but addressing the specific arguments that are raised by counsel. And sometimes the justices are human beings, too. They're going to act, what we say, from the gut, you know, with respect to the arguments that are presented by the court. And I think that this particular justice made a comment in response to the arguments that were being presented to the court at that particular time.
Right, and I would expect somebody with my maturity level to make the same comments, not someone on the Supreme Court that's vilifying people because of their religion or their religious beliefs.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the topic of religion. In this particular hearing that's going to be argued today, you're going to have lawyers on behalf of the government and those that are opposed, but as well as what they refer to as friends of the court. that have presented what's referred to as amicus curiae briefs on a particular point. There are five religious organizations that have asked the Supreme Court to intervene in this case, one being the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who in a statement last Friday joined as a friend of the court brief, asking the High Court to hear Utah's marriage case as well. And it was joined by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the National Association of Evangelicals, and the Ethics and Religious Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention and Lutheran Church.
Just hearing those groups makes me get fired up.
Well, it is an interesting issue dealing with, on the one hand, the argument of due process of individual rights coupled with the individual rights of the state and being able to render law and religious freedom. We've already seen that argument.
Here's what I don't understand. You have 70% of the people in Idaho have voted for this as an amendment to their constitution. And now all of a sudden you have six people, because of their beliefs, have decided that it's unlawful, unconstitutional. Their rights are denied, rights that aren't outlined in the Constitution per se. And then you have one federal judge, the tyranny of the majority, the tyranny of the bench, undermining the will of the majority. Why even have respect for the legislative process then? Why don't we just go by judicial decree if this is how it's going to play out?
We do have respect for the law. That's the point. And every law is in contrast or comparison with the paradigm of the Constitution.
So every state legislature, every referendum was unconstitutional according to these federal justices.
That's correct. But remember back in the day...
Then how did they get passed?
Well, look at it this way. Back to the central argument, and that is the judicial review of the law that's being argued today. There was a time, I remember, with a governor down in your former neck of the woods.
Oh, don't bring up Governor Wallace.
Who made the argument, segregation now, segregation forever. And the majority in that jurisdiction was pro-segregation.
Was there a constitutional amendment protecting segregation in the state of Alabama?
Well, the point isn't whether there
is... Answer the question, counselor.
The answer is no. But on the other hand, there was a law that basically they were relying upon the separate but equal doctrine that had been pronounced by the court earlier, which I might add is just as much law as law that's enacted by a legislature. In this particular case, the court is going to be required to determine which value is supreme. And usually in this particular case, it's always the individual rights of due process are going trump states' rights.
And here's the other thing, though, when we think about this here at 580KIDO, basically the fix is in. Did the Supreme Court know that this was going to happen in the Windsor punting decision, if you will? Did they know that everybody would come back under equal protection and challenge these things constitutionally?
Well, they're not stupid, and they are, but it's just like you made the argument this morning. It said, where do we stop from here? Where do we go? Obviously, the next extension argument is that if gay marriage is permitted, then what about polygamy?
What about polygamy?
What about it? You know, the point is when you have consenting adults making decisions of a personal nature in their life, what role does government have to say otherwise unless there's detrimental harm?
And you know something, let's just embrace secularism, and all of a sudden let's just make churches that because of their religious beliefs marry these folks and then marry people with cats and dogs and 27 wives and everything else.
No, I don't think so. A church isn't bound by the same rules.
You don't think that that's going to happen?
I know for a fact that as far as freedom of religion is concerned, if gay marriage is the law of the land, that doesn't mean that churches themselves will be required to join in and marry people based upon the same gender. That violates in and of itself the tenet of freedom of religion. But the secular marriages that are performed in the courthouse would be allowed to proceed under that particular decision.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Tom Munns, tommunns.com, with Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Do you see if those headphones, we'll just go with here, see if the headphones aren't plugged in. We'll just go here. Go ahead, Tom.
Is he part of the same judicial system as the one that I watch? Because the idea that we have any support for the law is one of the most inaccurate statements I've ever heard. We have a legislature that admits to never reading law. We've got judiciaries that continue to expand beyond their, as so does the legislature. And then we've got the executive branch that does things that it shouldn't do. and somehow we think that we're in a position where we're doing the right thing. I want to make sure that I can bring people down to where this really is. Don't get confused by this issue, okay? Marriage, the marriage issue is a critical issue, but it's part of a bigger issue. The whole issue is the incremental undermining of American liberty and the assault on every single right that is inherent to the people. And we have nobody to protect the rights of the individual. When there is nobody there to be able to protect the rights of the individual, the governments have been, instead of being the peacekeepers, they have become the agitators. And when the government becomes the agitators, the people begin to fight back. Then the government uses oppressive, militaristic tactics to be
right,
able
Tom,
to...
Right, Tom, let's just stick to the gay marriage today of the Ninth Circuit.
Well, that's exactly where I'm going with this. Now, if you want to pertain to that issue alone, the idea, first of all, Alan Warden was absolutely correct, in my humble opinion, if I can tell him that it is a states' rights issue. The federal government has no authority to be able to do this. Our state constitution states specifically the fact that the people have made this amendment. The only way, and I know Alan will confirm this, is to be able to repeal that amendment through the states. And the only problem with that is that we are going to need a state government that has the strength, the backbone, and the understanding of what this assault is to be able to stand up, and as Federalist 16 says, interpose.
There you have it. Tom Munns, thank you. Alan L. Morton, your reaction to Tom Munns.
Well, the point being about freedom and individual rights is that every law has to have a rational relationship to a legitimate state interest when you're dealing with discriminatory practice. And in this particular case, your comments about freedom is exactly the argument that the gay community is asserting in this case.
So Tom Munns made the gay argument.
That's what I'm saying is, with respect to that issue, the government is being called on the carpet here for rendering a discriminatory practice based upon constitutional law of the state.
Right.
And so even though you've got a constitutional amendment at issue, it still has to be compared, if you will, or in contrast with the U.S. Constitution.
Where does this stop? Let's go back to polygamy.
Well, that issue is not before the court, but it will certainly be one of the issues that will be coming down the road.
But it has already been before Utah, and Utah ruled that marriage is not between a man and a woman, specifically pertaining to polygamy, that the polygamy restriction is discriminatory.
But, and that's exactly what we're going to be seeing, though, at the federal level. This argument will be reserved for another decision and another fact pattern.
Yeah. Again, where do you stop? Let's go to pro-life with Alan L. Morton, Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Well, the whole question is jurisdictional, and there's no place in the federal constitution where the federal courts get jurisdiction to rule on criminal law. I'm saying that homosexuality is a criminal act. It's a moral act. Only for those are state decisions. And so what a state should really do, if they're going to have any sense whatsoever, like our attorney general, our governor, they should say, we're going to enforce our law. We're not going to go to the federal court, because if we show up at the federal court, we're admitting that they have jurisdiction, and they do not have jurisdiction. And so our governor's a wimp, our attorney general, any legal beagle that takes the position that the federal court is going to decide this does not understand jurisdiction. That's my point.
All right, pro-life, thank you for the call. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, you agree with pro-life.
He couldn't be further from the truth with respect or understanding of the law. The U.S. Supreme Court is the final arbiter of issues concerning both the U.S. Constitution and any other state constitution in contrast to the U.S. Constitution. So just because a law passes muster in the state of Utah or the state of Idaho, it still has to be contrasted with the rights guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution. And that's what's being heard today. The federal courts do, in fact, have under the Constitution the right to consider whether or not a state law or its state constitution passes muster under the U.S. Constitution, and that's what's being decided in this particular issue.
Sounds like tyranny of the bench to me.
Well, that's what the role is. It started with Marbury versus Madison. Yeah. Our founders had that very thought in mind in preparing a judiciary.
So by far, the Supreme Court is the law of the – that's it, done, after the Supreme Court.
When the Supreme Court speaks right or wrong, they're the final arbiter, the final decider as to what is constitutional in this country.
Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. I know you got to go to work now, right?
Well, we've all got to make a living.
You're telling me. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me over.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. Let's get you to traffic now. Take a look at your temperature outside, 57 in Napa. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. Traffic now, we are still dealing with one accident. This would be on Linder at Apgar, just up from Chinden. So be aware of that right in the middle of the intersection. Should be cleared here in the next 10 minutes or so. Still real heavy traffic on the freeway through the Meridian area. You'll be slowing way down, pumping the brakes there. Is your car taking more than it's giving? Break up and start a low-maintenance relationship with Commuteride. Relax and save time, energy, and get swept off your feet. For more information, call 345-POOL or visit commuteride.com. I'm Dave Burnett. That's your traffic now on 580 KIDO.
Weather from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center.
Sunny skies. Going to receive some warm temperatures for the day today. In fact, it's well above normal. We'll get up to 89 degrees. It's going to be similar to yesterday. We got to 91 yesterday. But, you know, there's a dry cold front that's coming through. So even though we'll stay with the sunshine, temperature's going to drop by as much as 15 degrees. We're dropping down to the middle 70s as we go through the middle section of the week. However, with the sunshine staying, more high pressure moves in and warmer temperatures by the weekend. I'm News Channel 7's Eric Everett.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, coming up, more of your phone calls concerning Alan L. Morton's guest appearance on what's happening in the Ninth Circuit today involving same-sex marriage in Idaho. What say you? Before that, though, let's salute America. Let's go to Mount Home Air Force Base. Our great friend Ray Amaya is there covering the gunfighters. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Kevin. Yes, the gunfighters of Idaho, of the Air Force, as a matter of fact. With me now, Major Aaron Rona. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, let's talk about that gunfighter. That people may not know the story, but that's kind of a unique title.
It is. Real quickly, it was given to the gunfighters many years ago in Vietnam when the F-4 Phantom went off to combat in Vietnam without a gun on the aircraft. And after several encounters with MiGs, they decided they really needed one. So they strapped one on at the bottom of the jet, became the gunfighters.
And that was right here in Mountain Home, right?
That's... Well, overseas, yeah, but it was the same wing.
The absolutely. Same wing, exactly. So that's how they became the gunfighters, for those who are curious about the name Gunfighter Skies 2014. Now, Major Rona, you're the one who put this whole air show together coming up September 20th and 21st.
Well, I would definitely say that it was a team effort. It's not one person. Obviously, it's every group, every organization on base that's helping them put it together.
Yeah, but your job on the base is WIZO. Tell us what that is.
Yes, that's the backseater on the F-15E, what I fly currently.
So you take charge of the weapons and all that stuff.
The weapons, yeah. It's a very large smattering of objectives there. You know, co-pilot, navigator, weapons officer, you name it.
But you told me you can't do that because you're busy organizing gunfighters.
Yes, it's been busy for me lately as we get closer to the air show start time. Been flying a little bit less, but getting really enjoying the chance to work with all agencies on base, putting together the air show.
Now, this is awesome opportunity for the public. I mean, you usually can't come on to Mountain Home Air Force Base, but now you have access to the flight line and everything. Tell people what they can expect coming up September 20th.
Sure. The open house is like just that. It's open to the public, and it's there. It's our opportunity to show the people of Idaho and regionally that want to come and see what we do as a wing. And we also have assets from all the other wings in the Air Force come in to display their aircraft, and as well as we have performances. So it's going to be great for the family and any aviation enthusiasts.
Performances, local pilots as well as the Air Force Thunderbird.
That's correct.
Now, that's the draw right there, right?
That is. For those that want to see a good air show, you're going to see a spectacular air show, in addition to just all the men and women working the flight line out there talking about their aircraft or their piece of machinery that bring out. And you can talk to them, find out what they do here for the community as well as what they do for their job.
Now, like we mentioned, the public never gets to see a lot of this stuff. Right? Tell me how it is for you letting the public in on what you do.
I think it's a great opportunity for us to tell our stories, again, both as individuals and as airmen at the wing, you know, so both the personal level and at the professional level we'll have to do. So it's a very unique opportunity for pretty much anyone to come out and just talk to any of the airmen they see working, ask them what they do, and show their appreciation for coming out and supporting the Gunfighter Skies, as well as our opportunity to show the public this is what we do, this is where your money goes, this is what we do on a day-to-day basis, and it's a really good learning opportunity, really, for both sides.
Excellent. So We're talking September 20th and 21st. Where can people find out more information, like what they can expect security-wise,
sure.
Parking?
Sure, you can. There's a lot of sources out there. There's a Gunfighters Guys app that is on the iTunes and Android store. There's also the website, official website you can go to, and all the information there is what you can and can't bring. Just bottom line, gates will open, pretty much open to the public at 9 a.m., and they'll close at 5 o'clock, both Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Major Rona.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Kevin. Gunfighter Sky is coming up September 20th and 21st, and we will be there.
All right, Ray. Thank you very much. We'll check back in with our great friend Ray Amaya as we move along here at 580KIDO. Let's go to Russell in CUNA. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to hear this topic and your guest.
Well, we appreciate that. Your thoughts on the Ninth Circuit, Idaho's marriage could be redefined as of this week. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that prior to the government ever getting involved in anybody's marriage, it was always between the two families that made the agreement and whoever their religious leader was. There was no government involved, and I think that we should go back to that and not have the government involved in anybody's marriage and have it between the two people and their religious leaders.
Well, you take a look at this decision. You've got Idaho. You've got others. I'm with you, but on the other hand, until the Supreme Court decides, who knows?
Well, I don't know. I like what Tom said. You know, this shouldn't be a government issue. And as far as it, you know, being
but what do you say to the other side where they go, look, I want the same rights as everybody else? How do you counter that?
Well, I just feel that any religious leader that knows the Bible is not going to marry a same-sex couple. And it's not a matter of having rights. These people have the same right as any human being in our society.
Yeah, well, they'll argue they don't have the right to marry.
Well, talk that over with their religious leader.
Hmm.
It's just that the government is the one now deciding, and that's what I'm opposed to, same as Tom.
Right. But is that a legal argument?
Before a court, the legal argument would have to be that, you know, get the government out of our marriages in the first place. Why do I have to get a marriage license to permission from the government to marry? I realize that I have to have a driver's license because there's public roads, but for me to fall in love with someone and want to live with them for the rest of my life, why should I have a government license to do it?
Good point. We'll talk about it next, Russell. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, two things going on. Number one, this issue involving the Ninth Circuit and whether or not the feds can control what we determine as, you know, a constitutional amendment, number one. Number two, this Ray Rice incident where he pops his significant other, his woman, his lady. She decides to marry him, and he only gets suspended for 2 games. An incredible video percolating on TMZ.com. Let's go to Kirsten, joining us now at 580KIDO. Kirsten, thanks very much for your patience. Good morning.
All right. Well, it's been a while since I've been on here, and I just wanted to talk about you know, the lawyer, Alan. What was his last name?
Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
Yeah, Alan Morton. You know, if you talk to most any attorney, they're not going to go back to the Constitution. They're going to go back to precedents. And you notice when pro-life talked to him, he went back to precedents again.
Well, they talk in riddles, those attorneys.
Yeah, true. Anyway, precedence is not constitutional, because what they're doing is they're saying that we got away with circumventing the Constitution back in this case, so we can do it again in this case. So, you know, arguing with precedence is a circular reasoning, which a lot of liberals use. The court system seems to use it, too. Also, I beg to differ. When he says that the Supreme Court is the last say, no, that's not true, because the Congress can impeach them and reverse what they say, you know, and say that is not constitutional. So I don't know. If you talk to any lawyer, that's what you're going to find is that they the use of precedents is one of the main ways that they're destroying the Constitution. So I just wanted to say that it's I just disagree totally with what he said.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, let's go live to Mountain Home Air Force Base. Our great friend Ray Amaya is with us, checking out the gunfighters. Big show coming up. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Kevin, from the beautiful links at Silver Sage Golf Course here at the Mountain Home Air Force Base. We're talking right now with Airman First Class Daniel Ladefode.
That's right, yeah.
And where are you from, Daniel?
I'm originally from Colorado, Colorado Springs.
Ah, I see. And you told me you're a crew chief.
I am.
What does that entail?
Crew chiefs, basically, they make sure everything on the jet is good to go, tip-top shape, make sure, like, the forms are good, documentation forms, all the last-minute details, making sure that the jet's good to go for the pilot and that it's going to be safe for him.
I see. And I understand you got your motivation to join the Air Force. Tell us that story.
Yeah, growing up in Colorado Springs, there's a lot of Air Force bases, and the academy is there as well. And seeing the planes and the air shows there was really a huge inspiration for me to want to work on these planes and join and see what there was.
I understand what you mean, because I love watching the precision of the Air Force, of all our military. But, you know, the Air Force, you get to see them. They go up in the air, you know. It's like you don't always get to see the Army or the Marines.
Yeah.
And the Navy, you got to maybe live by the ocean to watch what they do. But the Air Force, we can see it every day here in the Treasure Valley, and I'll tell you, it makes me proud just to watch the job you guys do, because when I see an F-15, I know that there's an entire team that got that plane up there.
Yeah, it's a lot of precision and a lot of teamwork, and we do our best, and we're pretty proud of what we do.
Excellent, and that's going to be shown coming up in 12 days, Gunfighter Skies, September 20th and 21st. Tell me what you'll be doing for that.
I personally will be working one of the food booths. There's going to be a lot of food and like T-shirts and hats to paraphernalia to buy. All that's on the app to see what's available. It's a great opportunity just to see what the Air Force has to offer and basically watch us flex our muscles.
Well, that's excellent. I'd love to hear that because the public wants to see you flex your muscles every day. Not you personally, but the Air Force, you know. But anyway, Gunfighter Skies coming up September 20th and 21st right here at Mountain Home Air Force Base. Airman Ladefode, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Kevin, it's going to be a great air show.
Well, Ray, back to your personal inspirations when we're talking about the Air Force. So what are you looking forward to seeing? You'll be down there. Dave Burnett will be down there. What are you looking forward to seeing?
I'm looking forward to seeing, again, the especially the Air Force Thunderbirds, watch the precision flying there, the diamond cluster, the four jets that fly, you know, within 3 feet of each other for the whole show. That's just incredible to me. Also the other pilots, there's going to be some F-15 demonstrations and some of the other jets that are maybe they don't have a show team, but it's the same kind of precision flying that goes into putting on a show like the Thunderbirds. But getting to watch them strut their stuff as well, always looking forward to that. Anything that makes a lot of noise and protects our freedoms, I'm right there. I'll be right there on the flight line.
Well, speaking of which, here at 580 KIDO, what's it like yapping to those guys this morning? Did they inspire you?
Oh, very inspirational. The Airman Ladefode is still sitting right here. How old are you, sir?
I'm 24.
24 years old. See, he looks like, if I didn't know better, I would have thought he was still in high school or something. But it always amazes me that these young men and women in our military, they're so devoted, they're so focused, they're so devoted to their job. And Airman Ladefode was telling me, you know, he's just proud to be part of that team that gets to put the F-15 up in the air. And that's what inspires me the most, seeing everybody here. They each have their own job, from the pharmacist that we talked to earlier to the weather forecaster, Tech Sergeant Courtney Hughes. They all are proud of what they do, and they all feel like it contributes to the entire mission.
Well, Ray, we appreciate it. If people want more information, what can they do?
If they want more information, there's an app you can get on your cell phone. It's the Gunfighter Skies app, and you can find it on iTunes. I believe we have a link on 580KIDO to find that app. But anyway, that's probably the best way to find information. Go to the website and look for that Gunfighter Skies 2014 app.
Now, Raymond, make sure you come home here.
Oh, definitely. I think I'm going to get a windshield tour of the flight line.
Oh, it sounds very exciting.
Before we come home, it'll be great.
All right. Well, thank you. Great job today, sir.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Our great friend Ray Amaya there. Gunfighter Skies. Going to be a big show. Why not be a part of it? From our friends at Mountain Home Air Force Base, 848 at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Currently a balmy 61 in Star, Idaho. Good morning, Dave.
Your traffic now, still looking at real slow traffic on the freeway eastbound as you come through that Meridian area. No accidents, just that heavy traffic. One accident still working. This will be on Linder near Apgar. That's just up from Chinden. Commercial Tire can help you get ready for fall on great prices with the tires that includes their road hazard warranty, and save up to $50 instantly on any service. Visit any Commercial Tire location for details. I'm Dave Burnett. That's your traffic now on 580KIDO.
Thank you, Dave. Weather from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center.
Sunny skies, warm temperatures, 89 degrees for today. That's thanks to a little bit of that high pressure still hanging around, but that will be changing. We're going to be looking at a cold front coming through. However, it's not producing clouds. It's a dry cold front. What we're going to have is temperatures that are going to be dropping down to the mid-70s. We will see a little warm-up again with some high pressure for the weekend. I'm with Channel 7's Larry Gebert.
Smart Credit Union, providing quality financial services for over 50 years.
Glenn Beck. Weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, K. Miller in the morning. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at Lake Hazel Middle School in Meridian. Thanks to our friends at CapEd Credit Union, promoting our school, securing our future. Quickly to Greg at 580KIDO with K. Miller.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm calling in this morning to find out if you could use some of your media prowess to find out if those metal detectors Saturday night were actually active. I took a picture shortly after I went through security and posted it to Facebook about 9 o'clock Saturday night, and in that picture, you can see black plugs hanging over the top of the units unplugged in, and there aren't any cables or power cords running on the ground or anything, and during the whole time in line, no one set one of them off. You know, and you got to think someone's big belt buckle or forgotten keys or something would have set one of them off. But I never heard a single one go off, and they don't appear to have been plugged in. So I don't know if they run on AAA batteries or what, but I think that's kind of an interesting question. And then the front page picture on yesterday's paper also has a picture of those metal detectors at a different gate than I went through, and it shows the black plug unplugged in hanging over the top also.
Well, and then we have reports that apparently the delay was so long, it was so unorganized, that they just gave up and let everybody go through anyway.
I hadn't heard that part, but, you know, there's a lot of commentary on that article, the Statesman article yesterday, and people are blaming Senator McKenzie. And, you know, the thing is that nothing is different. And you and I have had this conversation 3 weeks ago or so when you were taking calls on it. Nothing's different from last year to this year.
Except that I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Statesman has an agenda to gin up the opposition.
Right.
That's really what it is.
And that could very well be. But I still contend that this is nothing but a vindictive policy or maneuver by the administration that couldn't produce a salient argument during testimony last year during the legislative hearings. I was there. I listened to the testimony, and the arguments against it were completely inane, including Custer's. So I would suggest that maybe
Greg,
out of his paycheck.
Well, Greg, you ever hear of a sore loser? I mean, the folks that were against this bill are sore losers, so they're going to make you, me, and their acolytes in the press are going to highlight the inconsistencies. Instead of saying all clear, common sense. I mean, look, the Statesman employed a columnist that lied in his article about this, that said that, oh, there are going to be guns at Broncos Stadium because of this. No, no, they're not. It never said that in the bill. It never said that in the bill.
In fact, I do believe now it makes it a crime to try and get a gun in there, where before it was just a policy of the university. And so it's actually tighter with this law than it was last year. But I really am interested to find out if any of those metal detectors were actually active, because I couldn't see any lights, like they were powered on lights. And in the Statesman picture, my picture that I posted on Facebook, the black plugs are hanging over the top of the units unplugged in, and there's no cables on the ground anywhere in the picture, and not a single one of them went off in my observing of people coming through. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a little conspiratorial, but I wonder if any of the actual walk-through metal detectors were active Saturday night, or if it was just a charade.
We know what the answer was. It was a charade. Greg, thank you.
All right, take care. Thanks, Kevin.
I appreciate it. Greg's right about that. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. Traffic now, we're still dealing with a minor accident. I-84 eastbound just past Cloverdale on the right-hand side. Police there with one vehicle left on the scene, but not really causing too many delays through there. It does get slow back there in the Meridian Construction Zone, though. Well, do you know what you're having for dinner tonight? How about a grilled steak? Visit the Idaho Beef Council Facebook page for recipe ideas. Beef, it's what's for dinner. I'm Dave Burnett. That's your traffic now on 580KIDO.
Weather from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center.
Sunny skies, warm temperatures, 89 degrees for today. That's thanks to a little bit of that high pressure still hanging around. But that will be changing. We're going to be looking at a cold front coming through. However, it's not producing clouds. It's a dry cold front. What we're going to have is temperatures that are going to be dropping down to the mid-70s. We will see a little warm-up again with some high pressure for the weekend. I'm just Channel 7's Larry Gebert.
And Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Do want you to take a look at our website coming up, and this isn't the usual gratuitous, hey, look at the website, look at me. We've got a very significant story. Also, I'd like you to go to GoFundMe.com and look up Bring Jessa Home. See if you can contribute to bring home a war canine to live with his handler, Robert, who contacted us today. GoFundMe.com, Bring Jessa Home, or send me an email if you want to help out. More information available. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Meridian.